a prophecy from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. Most of this prophecy is directed toward Israel. But then there is something sandwiched in here, as often happens in the Bible. There is something sandwiched in pertaining to the coming of the Messiah, or the Anointed One. In Isaiah 35 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." It's an incredible prophecy, really. In the last book of the Old Testament, in the last chapter of the book of Malachi, in chapter 2, verse 4, I mean, chapter 4, verse 2, excuse me. Malachi, the last chapter, 4, and verse 2. Look at this. It says, "But unto you that fear my name," say that's me. What is his name tonight? Say it again. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Another place in Isaiah it says, "And by his stripes we are healed." In Acts chapter 2, I just want to reread verse 43, which I read here last night. After the advent of Pentecost, it says here in verse 43, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." In chapter 4, in verse 33, it says, "And with great power," everyone say, "great power," "and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." I just want to talk to you tonight about this business of the power of God. The real demonstration of God's power among his people. Would you lift your hands, your voices in your hearts, and would you pray not only for understanding but revelation, and that God will allow faith in your heart to rise to such a proportion that your miracle will come to you tonight. Lord Jesus, tonight I praise you for the reading of the word of the Lord. I thank you tonight for the wonder-working power of God here in this last 24-hour period of time. I thank you for the magnitude of your ability, oh God, to demonstrate for human eyes and intellect the power and the intervention of a living God. I praise you tonight that we are not serving a dead figure upon a crucifix, but that the cross is empty, but that our lives and hearts are full to capacity. And tonight in this place, there is an overflowing of your spirit. I pray tonight that you will cause the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. Cause the dead to be raised in our day among us. I pray tonight, Jesus, that you, O God, open our hearts and raise our faith in thee in the name of Jesus. Let there be that Son of Righteousness here tonight with healing in his wings. I pray that you will impart the gifts of the Spirit, and that as faith rises, that people will connect to the realm of the supernatural, and that young people and old people alike will take this forth from this place, and that we will be able to set this world on fire, ablaze for the cause of this Jesus and his great truth. We worship you tonight because you are God. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Anoint us now to hear and to speak. I pray for the gift of faith to be in this place. I release the gift of faith to these people and the demonstration of the Spirit of God in power in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Would you clap tonight uproariously for the Lord, and would you shout with your voice, triumph! Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah! In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sister Harding told a tremendous story today in her session. Sister Harding told a story of when she was just 5 years old, her grandmother chopping up a chicken on a counter. Somehow the knife must have slipped, and she cut her finger to the bone so that you could see right through the flesh to the bone. And of course, as a child, seeing that, there was no doubt consternation on her part. And so she made the statement to her grandmother. She said, "What are we going to do?" And the blood had not yet started. And she said, the grandmother said, "We're going to pray and ask Jesus to heal." And she said, by that time, the blood had begun to flow. And her grandmother helped her place her little hands over the open wound on the finger and placed her hands over the child's hands, and they prayed in Jesus' name. And Sister Harding said, before her eyes, the flesh grew back together and the wound closed up. And then she made the statement, she said, "And that is my heritage." And I thought to myself, but that's my heritage. That is all of our heritages in this place. Because we are a counterpart of that upper room bunch that came stumbling out of an upper room, drunken on the Spirit of God, nearly 2,000 years ago. And great signs and wonders followed them. This power of God, if you read the Bible, there are some astronomical examples of the power of God. Now, granted, they are sporadic in the Old Testament, but in the New, once Jesus came, miracles became wholesale. They were everywhere. And then he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." He said, "What I do, you will do also." And it just goes on and on like that. Now, I was not raised in Pentecostalism. This came to me when I was 23 years of age. But the thing that attracted me to this gospel was your various accounts of present-day miracles that were happening. Because in the Baptist church, we didn't hear anything like that. And in the Evangelical Free Church, which I was in at the time that you found me, we heard nothing about miracles at all. But you were full of these stories of God and His miraculous power to heal. For example, I had only visited you once, but the butchers had me into their house for refreshments after the service, and the assistant pastor was there, and they began to tell the story about a missionary somewhere in South America that was captured by the local natives, and they set about to burn him at a stake. And as they piled the wood at his feet, and as they set flame to the wood and the various pieces of sticks and just branches they had pulled off and gathered and collected, as the smoke began to rise, in the presence of those people, those heathens, who felt like they would watch to see what this Christian would do, this Christian cried out and said, "Oh God, don't let me die like this." And an arrow from nowhere came out of space and went through his heart, and he slumped dead instantaneously before the flames ever touched him. And I remember sitting there without the Holy Ghost, without any knowledge totally of what you people are all about, thinking, if there is a God like that, if there is a God like that, I want to know Him. I want to know that kind of God. And then I had a cousin who was really the one who got Brother Butcher on my trail in Des Moines, Iowa. And I remember him telling a story how that a child belonging to a sinner couple in the city of Oskaloosa, Iowa, this child developed some kind of a skin fungus in his hand. Now, I was at a Sunday afternoon dinner. Fried chicken, gravy, mashed potatoes, the whole typical Iowa Sunday afternoon dinner. But in the course of this meal, they were talking about things like this that I had never, ever heard anything like it before in my life. And they were all not eating. They were listening to the story. And I was not eating. I was absolutely captivated, and in the theater of my mind's eye, I could see it in detail as they were talking about it. No doubt the Lord, even then, opened my heart and my mind and my understanding to the possibility of such a thing and to His reality and His power. And they told how that the parents took their child to the medical society. And the doctors told them, they said, "We don't know what it is. And there is no cure for it. We have nothing that can stop it. The only answer is to amputate both hands, to cut both hands off, because it will keep crawling up his arms. It will cover his entire body, and it will take his life." But these parents heard about this little Pentecostal home missionary church that had just begun in their city. And it was noised abroad that these people believed in the miraculous healing power of God. And so they called my cousin, who was the pastor, and they told him the story, and he said, "Bring your son to our Sunday morning service." They had less than 20 people, but this young couple brought that child to that little humble setting. Let me tell you something here tonight. This Jesus is not in stained glass. He's not in marble columns and pillars. He's not in carpet. He's not in furniture. He is where there are two or three gathered together in His name. That's where He is. And so this young couple appeared in the Sunday morning service after it had begun. No doubt they had trouble finding the address, the location. But when they came in, it was perceived by looking at the child who they were. And my cousin stopped everything, and he asked them to bring that child up to the front. And that young couple, just nervous as you would be in a strange setting among people you did not understand, they yet brought that little boy up, and his hands were just encrusted with this fungus. And my cousin took a bottle of oil, opened it, and poured olive oil in the palm of his hand, and rubbed his hands together. And while people watched, he took those two little hands, encrusted with fungus, in his own hands that had been anointed with oil, and prayed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And when my cousin, Brother Allard, lifted his hands from the child's hands, those fungus just dried up and fell off while they were looking, and the skin became totally clean and whole. Power! Power! That is power! And I remember blinking back tears. My heart was pounding. And then I came to this. It's a long story. You probably have heard it before. But one of the reasons I came back is because at 23 years of age, I saw you people stand and asked the pastor for prayer for your bodies. And people came down front, and they were anointed with oil, and they were prayed for, and they would go back to their seats. And later in the service, they would stand up and say, with tears sometimes running down their faces, "I thank God for healing my body. There's no pain in my body tonight." I never heard that in the Baptist church. I never heard that in the Evangelical Free Church. But I heard it among you. And I had been severely crippled, hurt badly in a car accident when I was 15 years old. But that time I was going to the doctor every other day. I couldn't make it from Friday to Monday sometimes. At 23 years of age, I despaired of living. But I tell you, when you are desperate, you don't really care about what you were taught or about what it looks like or what people are going to think, or you don't, the opinions of others don't matter when you really become desperate. And I was desperate. So I went on a Sunday night, and it just so happened I met Brother Butcher outside the church, going down into the basement where they were worshiping in this whole missionary setting. And I said to him, "Brother Butcher, I want healing for my body. I want prayer for my body." That's what you had said, so that's what I knew if I said it the way you said it, he would know what I wanted. And so I said it the way you said it. And he said, "We'll be very happy to pray for you tonight." Well, we walked down into the basement because he lived upstairs at that time with the home missionary setting. And they started that service 95 miles an hour. And I thought that they had totally forgotten about me. Everybody say desperate. Say desperate. And I was desperate. So I threw my hand in the air thinking they had forgotten me. And he stopped everything and recognized me. And I said, "I want prayer for my body." He said, "Mr. Stone King," he said, "come right now." They knew nothing about me. They didn't know my story at all. I was a stranger, a visitor. I walked down there. My heart was pounding. I walked down there, and I didn't know how to raise my hands. I didn't know how to pray the way you people pray and get into all of this. I didn't know how to do it. I was too shy, for one thing, to do it. But when he opened that bottle of oil, I closed my eyes. I lifted my hands this high. At least that was a major event for me. It wasn't like this, but I got him here, you understand. And God honors sacrifice, little or big. And so I raised my hands, and he simply prayed, I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Be thou healed. And I didn't know how to speak with tongues, didn't have the experience, or didn't understand anything about it, really. Didn't know how to pray and carry on like you do. I just simply whispered, and I said, I believe. That's all I said. That's all I said. I took my hands down and walked back to the seat. This was Sunday night. And they went on with the service. I can't tell you I saw a ball of fire or heard a voice or felt a chill. I don't think I felt anything. My heart was pounding like this. I was scared to death. But I sat there. And they went on with the service. And after a while, they passed the offering plate. They took an offering. And I think to myself, well, I'm going to pay the doctor tomorrow night. I'll just pay God. I'll tip God a little something for what he's done for me here. I'll put in the offering plate tonight what it's going to cost me to go to the doctor on Monday night. So I put in the money. And they gave me a discount because I came so often. So I dropped the money in the plate. And the plate went on. And the service went on. And it came to a home. And Monday morning when I awakened, there was no pain. There was no pain. Tuesday morning came, and there was no pain. Wednesday morning came. People, it was incredible. I had not been without this distress for years since I was 15. There was no pain on Wednesday. Thursday came, and there was still no pain. Friday came, and the doctor's office called. And they said, Lee, where are you? You've missed all your appointments this week. They said, are you bedfast? I said, no, I'm not. He said, where have you been? What's happened? I said, well, I don't think you're going to believe this. I said, but I've been to a small church on the east side of Des Moines, Iowa, and they believe in divine healing. And I said, they prayed for me, and I've been healed. I mean, that doctor was furious. He said, we want to see you. They always want to see you. So I went in. I stood in his office. I told the same story all over again from top to bottom. He was furious. You know how people, the color comes up in their face, you can see they're just angry, they're mad. And he said, boy, I'll give you 1 month and you'll be back to me in worse shape than you were ever in. And I just grinned. I said, no, I don't think so. I think this is going to work. I think this is going to work. And I can tell you here tonight, it is 35 and one half years later, and it is still working tonight. So I said to myself, if there is a God that's real, I will shout this from the housetops. I will give everything I've got. I will tell this everywhere. I'll tell it in the streets. I'll tell it in Hamlet. I'll preach it. As I went off to Bible school immediately. That first summer, I came home and I went to Dr. Fuller to see him. I walked in his office. And he was a bit surprised. He said, well, Lee, how are you? I said, I'm doing tremendous. I'm just doing absolutely tremendous. He got up from his desk. He walked over to his big file cabinet. And this is where he kept all the records of his patients. And he had a lot of them. There were several drawers. But there was a bottom drawer for the deceased. And so
He reached for this bottom drawer, and he opened this bottom drawer. And he fumbled through till he found the S's, and he pulled out a file that said Stone King. But he held it up, and across the front of the file, written in large black letters, was not the word deceased, but divinely healed. Can you feel something building here tonight? Can you feel something beginning to move around us in this place? Let your voice out for a moment and just worship the Lord. Jesus, you are a healer. Jesus, you are a healer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. And we have time for this. We have time for this tonight. So, I am divinely healed and I'm in Bible college. But in Bible college, they told all kinds of incredible stories. For the Norris told how that they walked around the building. You remember these stories. You and I were in school together. You and your wife and I. You and I went to school together. And they would tell how that when they wanted a building like the Israelites, the Battle of Jericho, they walked around the building and claimed this building in Jesus' name. And I'm sitting here, a brand new convert, and I'm wide open to all of this. And they're walking around claiming this building, and they got it. Faith rises. Faith cometh by hearing. That's what preaching is all about. It raises your faith. That's why King David said, make known his deeds among the people. Make known his deeds among the people. Tell what he has done. Tell what he has done. Tell what he has done. I remember Sister Norris telling the story one day in class, and the power of God fell, and the school was closed for the day. The power of God just swept through the whole school. We got the shouting and crying and screaming. She told how that in the early days of Pentecost, when they came into this, she told how that there was a woman, an older woman that had gotten the Holy Ghost, and she was walking along the street one night on her way to the church service, and some thug jumped out of the bushes, and he absolutely went after her to mug her, and he was trying to get her purse, and she threw her hands in the air and said, in the name of Jesus! And the man dropped dead. And when the police came, they said, lady, what did you do to him? They couldn't find a mark. They couldn't find a bruise. They couldn't find anything. There was not one drop of blood. And she said, all I did was say, in the name of Jesus! That's where it is. That's where it is. That's where it is. It's in the name. It's in the name. It's in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 So, my life was filled with these stories. My head is spinning. My heart is excited. afraid. I'm thinking to myself, this is the most noble cause in the world. This is the most glorious cause in the world, to preach this to others. And to have God working among us with such might and with such power. And I wanted it. I wanted it for myself. I wanted this. And I have always believed it. I have always been mesmerized, excited by, totally just taken with the power of God to move in among people and tumors disappear and legs grow and spines straighten. Eyes open, ears begin to hear. And I'm talking tonight to a young generation that is going to have all of this and more. Someone is going to do it. It might as well be you, and it might as well be me. Someone is going to do this. And I for one, I am tired of just coming to church and going through the motions. I'm tired of camp meetings. I'm tired of conferences. I'm tired of schedules. I'm tired of everything. Unless there is a real demonstration of the Spirit of God and power, I don't need any more religion. I've got enough religion. I can sing all the hymns. I've got books full of sermons. But what I need, and what this world needs, is to know that there is a Jesus that can cause the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the dead to be raised to life again. That's what Christianity is supposed to be about. It's not just about our programs and our rituals and the nonsense we drag our people through. You may be seated. I want you to lift your hands, tilt your head back, close your eyes and lift your face toward the Lord and say, Jesus, whatever it takes, I want to be in this miraculous realm. Can you feel him hearing? I want to be in this miraculous realm. I want to be in the moving of the Spirit. I want to be involved with the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Power. Hallelujah. Power. I checked on her just this year. She's still living for God and she's still here. Power. Lift your hands and say, Jesus, lift my faith now.